start off our cracking the Christmas code. And we like to take things literally here. And so as you can see, we have nutcrackers everywhere. And my husband has this collection. And thanks to people like his mom, who gives our kids, all the kids, a nutcracker every single year, it expands by 5 nutcrackers every single year. So you can imagine, Charity, our oldest, is going to be 21 in a week and a half. And oh, yeah, happy birthday. And so we have a lot of nutcrackers. So these are just like a few of our collection that we are letting you guys enjoy here at Innovation. We kept all the crazy ones, and I left the Bears ones at home too, because, you know, I'm not going to say anything bad about them. I think everybody knows how they're playing, that they're not good. So anyways, but I kept my favorite up here. So this is Mary. She's kind of creepy looking, but that's okay. And baby Jesus is a round little sphere, but that's okay. We're just in Nutcracker world here. And here's Joseph. And this is what all Christmas is about. So we're going to be talking about, obviously, Mary and Joseph a little bit, but we're also going to be talking about what the Christmas code reveals in our life. And so I have a few slides up there that I'm going to show you guys. Have you ever noticed how much we look like our parents or a family member? It's kind of creepy, right? Chelsea, do you have those slides on there? Yeah, the pictures. Let's put the first one on. Look how much these people look alike. So this is, I mean, these are just random people I found on the internet, okay? So I can't say anything, but these are family members. They have the same smile, the same curly hair, like the eyes, everything is crazy. So let's look at the next picture. Here is like a son and I'm assuming his dad or grandpa. Isn't that crazy? Okay, and then one more, I have one more picture. This one's really crazy. Like they look so much alike. It's like really? Are you guys scamming us? But it's so crazy how much we can be like family members or like our parents, like coming down to even like freckles or our nose shape or our hair color. I was even watching a TV show this week, and they were talking about how the gene where cilantro tastes like soap can be passed down.
Yes.
Does anybody here think that cilantro tastes like soap? Yes. But Billy doesn't think it tastes like soap, he just doesn't like it. I think it's wonderful. I don't know if any of you guys like cilantro, but yeah, woohoo, cilantro people. I remember it was about 23 years ago. Let me think, we've been married for 22 years. I keep thinking it's 23 years. I've actually thought it was 23 years for the past year and a half. So, you know, so we've been married for 22 years. Well, right before our wedding, about a month and a half before that, Billy's dad unfortunately passed away. And I remember going there for the funeral, and I got to meet his half-brother, Richard. And we were trying to find the picture, we couldn't find it. So I can't show you guys, but I'm just gonna describe it to you, okay? So we know we're talking, and Billy's standing next to Richard, and he had met him when he was a little kid, but then Billy's dad and mom had moved down to Texas, and so he really didn't get to see his brother that much. So they were reunited for the funeral. And Richard is how many years older than Billy? We don't know. He's like 10 years older. At least. Okay. So Richard actually looked a lot like Bill, his dad, because actually had even some of the same struggles in his life and same addictions, which is so weird because they hadn't been together since he was a little kid, right? Well, they're standing there and they both have like, they're like leaning the same way, their heads cocked the same way, and we have a photo of it, and it's the weirdest thing. It's like, even like the way they stand, and they haven't been around each other since Willie was a baby. Isn't that just, it's kind of creepy. So, but God did that on purpose. Like, he designed us all with a purpose. One of my favorite verses is Psalms 139. I actually like the whole chapter. The chapter is amazing. It's actually been like my theme chapter in life. But if you go down to Psalms 139:16, it says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It's not a mistake, the time that you were born in." Some of you hate sweatpants or hate dresses and you like sweatpants, and so you're definitely very glad that you're not where you had to wear those big fancy skirts, right? It's not a mistake, the parents that God gave you, the talents that you have, etc. Because God gave each and every one of you a purpose, and he has, and he, you guys are unique, every single one of you. And just because you were born with some traits, maybe things are passed down on your family, maybe that's addictions, maybe that is some just family flaws. Do you know that you don't have to succumb to them? I'm so glad that we can choose the destiny that we choose, right? And so I just want to encourage some of you guys that you can change your family tree for the entire, from this point on, for generation to generation. I even look at the twins. A lot of you don't know, but we adopted our twins when we got them when they were 2 months old out of the hospital. And I look at them sometimes, like when they're in the back of the car and they're praising Jesus to worship music, or when they're here, and it's like, God really, he changed their whole destiny. They were born to a family of addiction and abuse. And God chose us to be their parents for whatever reason that may be. And I'm so grateful for that, because could you guys imagine Luna and Liam anywhere else but in our family and here at Innovation? I know. Life isn't a series of random events, but it's a carefully orchestrated plan by God. Just as every day in our lives are laid out by him, the Christmas story shows that God's purpose is always intentional. So the next thing that the Christmas code interrupts our plans to align with God's purpose. God created every single one of you with a plan and a purpose. But sometimes he may interrupt our plans because his plans are bigger, right? I don't know about you guys, but I'm really glad that I didn't marry the guys that I had crushes on in middle school and high school. Anybody else? Can you raise your hand and agree with that one? Whew, man, my life would be very, very different. I love the verse Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." So now we're going to go back to the Christmas story, because we're talking about Christmas, right? And I haven't really talked about it much. So we got Mary and Joseph here. Just a reminder. I know they're so tiny. I wish they were bigger. But so let's go to Matthew 1:18-21. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, but had in his mind quietly to divorce her. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until they had gave birth to their son, and they gave him the name Jesus. I don't know about you guys, but I'm sure that was not how Joseph planned for his marriage with Mary, huh? And I'm sure it was really hard for him to even to listen, right? It probably took him a little while. Like, are you sure, God? I'm going to trust you, but are you sure she didn't cheat on me? I mean, I can just imagine the things that was going through his head. But he was obedient and listened. And look how our lives have changed ever since. Christmas teaches us that God's purpose may disrupt our own plans. When we surrender to his design, we experience the true meaning of his work in our lives. So the next thing that the Christmas code reveals, are you guys ready? This is so exciting. The Christmas code defines what's possible. You think that only under your understanding that you can accomplish so much, but with God in the mix, it's limitless. When you feel like you can't do it, I can tell you what, he's got you. Let's look at Luke 1:26-37. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, sorry. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "But how will this be?" she asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be named the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to give birth in her old age. And she, who is said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, will have a baby. For no word from God will fail." So you look at two examples right here. You've got Elizabeth, who didn't think she was ever going to be able to have a baby, who's now pregnant with John the Baptist, by the way. And then you've got Mary, who is completely confused, but knows once again that she's going to trust in God. I can tell you that God's plans for Mary redefined what was possible, proving that nothing is impossible for him. That whatever you guys may be going through in your lives, if you have that addiction that you want to break, that you can do it because nothing is impossible for you. This message of Christmas cracks the code on how we view challenges and opens our eyes to God's limitless powers. And then the last thing that the Christmas code reveals is that it solves our deepest problems. It isn't just about the baby in the manger, but he came to set us free. Luke 4:17-19. It says, "The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.'" Christmas isn't just about the birth of Jesus. It's about God's answer to our biggest issues. Through Jesus, we can find freedom. We can find healing and hope, cracking the code on how to live our life with true peace and purpose. So throughout this sermon series, you will see how it reframes Christmas as God's divine plan, cracking the code for purpose, possibility, and hope in our life, revealing how his perfect design is always at work. And so I breezed through this very quickly this morning. I also didn't want to be coughing the whole time, so I want to try to get it short. But I want to take this moment to remind you today that God created each and every single one of you guys with a purpose. You're not an accident, and your life is not without meaning. And we go back to Jeremiah 29:11 that we were just talking about. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, a plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Some of you may feel like you're walking through something that's impossible right now. Maybe pain or confusion and a sense of being lost. But know this, that God's plans are greater than anything you could imagine. He sees beyond your struggles. He wants to lead you. He wants to strengthen you and help you through whatever seems impossible. What we can't do in our own strength, God can do through his mighty power. And it all begins with surrender, acknowledging that we cannot live this life on our own, that Jesus Christ, God's own son, gave his life for you so that you could experience this relationship. Through his death and resurrection, he made a way for you to be forgiven and to find purpose and to walk in his power every single day. Today is the day to say yes. to God's plan for your life. And if you are ready to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you've never done it before, I want to say that today is that day. Or maybe this is a chance for you to be like, okay, God, I have screwed up. I've not trusted you, but I want to start over. Then we want to pray for you. And we want to pray this simple prayer. And actually, I'm going to have everyone pray together so it's not as scary. Does that sound good? I don't know about you guys, but when you can come together as a body of Christ, it's so much easier when you have that around you. So if that's you, let's pray this today. Lord Jesus, I believe that you created me with a purpose. I believe that you have a plan for my life that is greater than anything I could imagine. I confess that I have tried to do things on my own, but I need you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and rising again so I could have new life in you. I surrender my life to you. Help me to trust you with my heart, with my plans, and my future. In Jesus' name.